Welcome to Frequency Matters, the RF and Microwave Update series. I'm Pat Hindle, and I'm here with my co-host, Gary LaRude. In this episode, we're going to take a look at our April satellite and radio communications issue. The cover story is great. It's about qualifying GaN for space applications. So Mercury Systems takes a look at the challenges and specific issues with GaN, as we've seen a couple companies now offering space-qualified GaN, and we thought it'd be great to give a perspective on how it is to qualify that.
Yeah.
So what do we have for other technical articles?
So we have several from SatixFy UK. We have another sort of space-themed article, this one more ground terminals. They have developed a multi-beam phased array antenna, and they've actually developed a digital beam-forming ASIC that includes the A to D and D to A converters, and then an RF front end for Ku band, which is the complete TR chain, including the IQ transceiver, and it does dual polarization. So with this, those two components, they can scale their phased array, and of course they're targeting SATCOM, but it also has application for 5G. We also have an article, an interesting one, speaking of 5G, on a filter design for the 28 gigahertz 5G band. This one is a collaboration between NIAWR, Reactel, Dan Swanson, whom we know, and another consultant, Philip Jobson. Then we have two app notes, one from Analog Devices. This is kind of interesting because they talk about improving the spur-free dynamic range in a transceiver by playing with the LO frequencies and actually making the spur products uncorrelated. And then we have from Morian an app note on G sensitivity measurements for quartz crystal oscillators. So a good lineup, as we always have.
Yeah, quite a few. And so turning to the news, there are more 5G activity. So Ericsson and Nokia have both publicly announced 6 wins with operators for 5G technology. So we're really taking off this year. So they both teamed up with AT&T, Sprint, and T-Mobile in the U.S. And we've seen in the U.S. Verizon and AT&T both deploying millimeter wave technology first for 5G new radio. And that's going to require more cell densification than typically is needed. So it's good news for the IC manufacturers because the activity for small cells should really pick up. The rest of the world's kind of standardized on the 3.5 gigahertz band. So they're going to need new base station equipment, but maybe not in the density that they would need in the U.S. for millimeter wave technology. So we also saw Keysight and Qualcomm announce the first data cell call using FDD, so frequency division duplexing. Mm-hmm. So now FDD and TDD are both been publicly approved, so it's full of steam ahead for 5G.
Right, amazing.
What did you see in the news?
Well, a couple of semiconductor announcements. It was kind of interesting. Yesterday, Qorvo announced that they're acquiring a company called Active Semi International. This is a private company, a fabless mixed signal semiconductor firm that does power management and motor control ICs. They were formed in 2004. I think it's kind of a spin out from TI because all the top managers come out of TI. So the interesting thing about this acquisition is it takes Qorvo out of their core RF space and into some new market areas, although there are some market overlaps between the products of both companies. It will be interesting to see how this develops. The deal should close this quarter. We'll hear more about it during Qorvo's earnings call. So we'll watch that for further news.
I mean, that's very interesting because all the IC companies now have gone into power management. You've seen Skyworks do that, Qorvo, ADI acquired Linear Tech. So the power management issue has become very big and important to the RF spectrum.
Right. And this acquisition will diversify Qorvo away from their 70% of their business coming from mobile. The other thing, and this is just a closure, Renesas completed their acquisition of IDT, so IDT is no longer a standalone company. I think it's a good deal for both companies. It was delayed some. The Committee on Foreign Investment in the U.S. was reviewing the deal. That got delayed because of the government shutdown, but really there were no issues, so that's gone forward. So a couple of semiconductor news items, and again, some changes in the industry.
So now we have a special guest in the studio today. Abhishek Kapoor, Vice President of NokiWave, joins us. Let's take a look at a clip from that interview earlier today.
Well, you mentioned earlier IMS, which is coming up in just a few weeks here in Boston. What will be the theme? What are some of the things you'll be talking to folks about?
So keeping up with the tradition, like we always do, we have a special announcement here at Frequency Matters about a new product release, not just the third generation beamformer ICs, but also in addition to that, we will have our IFICs or the up and down converters for millimeter wave 5G that we will be releasing. These are going to be available in all three millimeter wave bands, the 24/26, 28 and 39 gigahertz. One of the things that I would like to highlight is that these IFICs are not just meant to be another IFICs because we can do it. It's meant to optimize the overall array level performance. Like if you remember back last year when we were talking, everything that we do at AnokiWave is meant to optimize the overall array performance. And same is the case with these IFICs. They are specially designed to optimize the overall millimeter wave array performance in all three bands. And that's the main purpose. Now, that doesn't mean that you cannot use it independently. Of course, you can. But the purpose is that they're designed to work with the AnokiWave ICs to provide the best benchmark performance in the industry. These are going to be pin compatible and digital compatible across all three of the bands. So it's the same philosophy. If you do a design for one band, you can basically reuse everything except your antenna element and change that. And of course, we recently also announced our Gen 2 SATCOM ICs in both KKA and KU band. So that's going to be featured at our booth as well. So lots of fun stuff and many more new things coming this year.
So we're really lucky to be in the Boston area here. We have a lot of microwave companies that have been on the show multiple times. AnokiWave, MACOM, Skyworks, ADI, Custom Mimic. So we hope to continue that trend.
Definitely.
So turning to events, I just got back from EDICON China in Beijing. It was April 1st through the 3rd. So it was a good year. We had an increase in activity and attendance. We were up to 3,000 unique attendees.
Oh, that's great.
And we had 100 exhibiting companies, so a lot going on there. So new to the conference, we added blockchain technology applied to 5G and IoT. So that was a very interesting talk.
Wow.
And we also added Frequency Matters Theater to the exhibition floor. So there's a constant flow of talks going on in the exhibition, which was great. We had keynote speakers from our host sponsor, Keysight, and our corporate sponsor, Rodian Schwartz. And they both talked about 5G, both from a testing and deployment perspective. And then we had a special guest, Steve Sandler, who's a power integrity expert. And he gave a very interesting talk on power integrity for high frequency and high speed circuits. The most interesting thing he showed was a phase noise plot from an oscillator that had different power supplies. So depending on what type of power supply you use, that had a great effect on the phase noise.
Oh, interesting.
So you really need to be careful these days with your power integrity, both high speed and high frequency circuits. We had two panel sessions that I moderated. One was on 5G OTA testing, and that's a very debatable topic right now. What are the best techniques to use? So we had some of the leading test experts there debating that. And we also had one on GaN technology. So we talked about the different flavors of GaN, different types of devices that could benefit from GaN technology, and also the state of GaN technology in China. So I think there's only probably one fab that's offering commercial GaN foundry service in China right now, but there's several more that are slated to come online this year.
Mm-hmm.
So that's always an interesting topic to debate because the government there is really funding the semiconductor technology. We also had a nice reception dinner, our annual sponsored by Keysight reception. And we always have the traditional Chinese entertainment, which is great.
Yeah, I saw some videos showing the dancing. That was really interesting.
And finally, next year we'll be in mid-May. So we'll be back in Beijing at the CNCC. So mark your calendars for mid-May 2020.
Wow. Sounds like you were very busy.
We were. How about you for events?
Well, for events, we're gearing up for both you and I for a very busy next couple of months leading up to IMS. I will be going to the Satellite Conference in May down in Washington, so hope to see some of our viewers there. And I think you're going to the Brooklyn 5G Summit.
I will be there.
And NI Week, I think.
Yes.
And so that'll keep us busy up until early June when we're at IMS. So we'll keep everybody posted on those events as well. And I think that's a wrap.
It is.
Well, we want to thank you for watching, and we want to thank our sponsor for this episode, AnokiWave. As you heard earlier, they are really unleashing the power of millimeter wave with their ICs for various markets, including 5G, SATCOM, and radar. Until next time.